Good afternoon, and welcome to FILA's first half 2017 earnings conference call. All participants will be in listen mode. At the end of today's presentation, there will be a question and answer session. Therefore, we will ask you to kindly reserve your space for a question by pressing star then one on your touch-tone telephone. We shall now ask Massimo Candela, Chief Executive Officer, to address the meeting. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Massimo Candela speaking. Welcome to everybody, and thanks to attend this call. I think I can say I'm happy to anticipate that the first semester shows positive results. If you remember last year, we clearly highlighted that due to the quite complicated M&A process in 2016, the first year 2017 would have been probably the most delicate transition years. I'm happy to say that the integration process is going at least as expected. We have experienced a good growth, but more than that, we are confirming, let's say, the high-end expectation of the analyst. The environment in which we are working is a little bit softer than the last two years, but FILA has always targeted a growth, taking market share from the competition. The fact that the market is a little bit softer doesn't change our expectations. The trend of the integration have had some, let's say, we have experienced some problems in the North America market that now have been solved. As the problem, mainly logistic problems, were focused on April and May, of course, we have had an impact mainly in the second quarter. Despite that, and by the way, in June, we have already seen a strong improvement with full confirmation during the month of July. Despite this, the EBITDA of the group have reached the area of 44 million euro, slightly below 44 million euro. Thus, we can say that we are on target with the expectation of the full year, despite the problem we had to face in the second quarter. I think, as introduction, I don't have to add other information, and maybe I will wait the Q&A session. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Massimo. Good afternoon to everybody. I kindly ask you to go to the presentation. We can start from page four, analyzing the core business sales trend. Core business sales are equal to, in this as of June 2017, are equal to 260.5 million, showing an increase of 29.3% compared June 2016, equal to +59 million. Of course, we have to analyze which is organic growth of this growth. We have to neutralize the M&A effect from this growth that is equal to 53.5 million, refer to Canson Group, to to Dahlia Group, to Frank Carper. I just remember that Cancer Group was bought in October, so all the revenue must be neutralized for the organic growth. For the Dahlia Group, we consider only 1 month as the effect to be neutralized from the growth to obtain the organic growth, because Dahlia Group was purchased in February 2016. And also we have to neutralize all the sales referred to St. Carber acquisition that was bought in September 2016. So this effect is equal to 23.5 million. Then the other effect that must be considered to obtain the organic growth is the foreign the FX effect. In June 2017, we have an FX effect equal to 1.4 million. This effect is mainly referred to the US dollar, so the US dollar coming from India. Because we had a US dollar stronger, plus 3% compared to the previous year. The Indian rupee is showing an increase of plus 5%. This effect is partially neutralized from the devaluation compared to the previous year of the Mexican pesos, is equal more or less to 4%. And the other effect of devaluation is referred to UK GBP pound that showed a devaluation equal 10% minus. So the total effect is equal 1.4%. So if neutralized from the organic growth, these two effects, M&A and FX effect, the organic growth show an increase equal to 4.1 million. Plus 2% compared to the previous year. The main growth, as in the first quarter, is in the Central South America and in Asia. In Central South America, we have 5.2 million of sales increase compared to the previous year, mainly referred to Mexico. In Asia, we still have a double-digit growth, equal 20.2%, 4.7 million compared to the previous year, mainly referred to our Indian subsidiary, DOMS. In Europe, we have a organic growth equal to 1.1%, plus 1.2% compared to the previous year, mainly referred to the commercial subsidiary, Turkey, Poland, Spain, Russia, and Greece. And all this growth is balanced by the decrease that is shown in the North America area, equal to less 7 million euro, 10.4% less compared to the previous year. This decrease, as Massimo introduced some minutes ago, is referred to the logistic integration issue that we had in the first part of the year. Stalled now. It's a temporary decrease because we already saw a recover of the sales starting from the end of the second quarter and continues in the third quarter, in the month of July, it shows a big increase compared to the previous year. By product line, the increase is mainly in the area of other creative instruments. We have 3.7 million of increase of sales compared to the previous year, plus 4.1%, and this increase is referred mainly to here in Mexico and India, of course. And we have also a little increase in pencil, plus 0.3 million. We have a double effect in this area of product line, because the decrease that was in the North America area referred to the graphite pencil was totally compensated by the increase in color pencil that we have in the area of India and Mexico. And also we have a little increase in office and industrial products, plus 0.1 million. plus 0.3% compared to the previous year. Again, we have a double effect, the decrease that we have in the industrial product in the North America area was totally compensated by the increase that we had in the India market, in the writing market, and in pens. So if we go to page 5, we can analyze the EBITDA trend. The EBITDA in the first, as of June 2017, is equal to 43.8 million, showing a total increase of 7.2 million compared to the previous year, equal to plus 19.9%. We have, of course, here we have to neutralize, as for the revenue, the FX effect and the M&A effect. M&A effect is equal to 7.8 million, mainly referred to Canson Group. And the FX effect is equal to 0.5 million. As for the revenue, we have a positive effect coming from USA, coming from Indian Rupee, and also a positive effect coming from the devaluation of 2% compared to the previous year, in referred to the area of the renminbi. And these positive effects were compensated by the devaluation in the Mexican area and the Mexican area. We have also a positive effect coming from the pound, because we are short in the GBP pound, and so the devaluation 10% creates a positive effect at the EBITDA level. The total effect, the fixed effect, is equal to plus 0.5 million. So if we neutralize from the 7.2 million of in total increase the M&A effect and the FX effect, the result is a performance negative for 1 million of euro, that is equal less 2.8% compared to the previous year. It's important to analyze why also with an increase of sales, we show a negative performance in EBITDA, because we have a non-recurring cost due to the logistic problem in the USA. We have more or less $1.5 million of non-recurring cost due to the temporary personnel and to the rent of new space for the warehouse in order where to stock of the products coming from the integration of Dahle with Dixon. We had a strong investment in the organizational structure in India and Mexico compared to the previous year to sustain the growth of the sales. We had also in FILA an increase of cost compared to the previous year, because for the ERP project we hire a new IT director, we hire a new marketing fine art director to follow. This is not only in FILA but also in other countries of the world we reinforce the fine art marketing division. And so globally, compared to the previous year, we have an increase of fixed cost due to all these reasons. At level of normalization, we have 4.9 million of extraordinary cost. Half is due to all the reorganization related consultancy fee related to the reorganization process that we have in France, in UK, and also in the USA. I just remember that we are closing one warehouse in UK. The plan organization plans following the acquisition of Incanson France is continuing, so we are facing a lot of restructuring costs. And half of these extraordinary costs are referred to the cost related to the stock option plan in FILA. I just remember that following the accounting principle, granting share to the employee for SRS must be booked as cost against the equity. So it's a cashless cost, but we book approx 1.8 million due to the one-off stock option plan, and also for the share incentive plan for the 3 years, the following 3 years. All these this plan is equal to 1.8 million of cost, booked as extraordinary cost. If we go to page 6, we can analyze the trend of the net income. Net income is equal to 17.6 million against compared to 17.1 million in 2016, so with an increase of half million compared to the previous year. It's important to point that at the level of net income, we have an increase of amortization depreciation cost due to the M&A effect. Of course, we have the tangible amortization coming from Canson et al. Group, but we have also the pure amortization coming from the purchase price allocation process for all the intangibles that were booked coming from this process. Then we have an effect of an increase of interest paid for the acquisition financing. We have also some negative effect in the exchange rate difference, because we have some financing in some foreign subsidiary in euro, and mainly in USA, in Brazil, in Turkey, so in some subsidiaries, and of course all these currency experimented devaluation against the euro, so there was also a negative exchange difference effect for this intercompany financing. And I forgot to say that also at EBITDA level, we have more or less 1 million of negative effect coming from exchange difference rate, because we have some companies that have part of trade payable book in euro, mainly I'm talking about Russia, the euro and not in local currency. Also Mexico, US dollar, and so this kind of transaction created some exchange negative difference also related to commercial transition. Coming back to the net income, we just gave a short summary about the amortization depreciation effect, the interest effect, the exchange rate negative effect, and I can confirm that the tax rate was is in line with expectation, because we confirm that the tax rate is approximately the 30% of the estimation that we already discussed in the past. About net financial position, the net financial position is equal to 285.6 million, with an increase equal to 62.2 million. This is due to the seasonality effect that we have in this period of the year. The increase of 62.2 million is due to the increase of is due to the operating cash flow equal to negative 48.6 million. Is due to a cash out for capex equal to 8.4 million, mainly capex that we had in France, in UK, in India, and Mexico. Then we had a cash out in these 6 months equal to 3.8 million for dividend paid. Interest paid cash out was equal to 4.4 million. And we have two positive effects due to the exchange rate, but also due to an extraordinary effect coming from a sale of a minority stake File Nordic Scandinavia is equal more or less to 1 million, this positive effect. All these effects together explain the increase of the net financial position from December to June of an amount of 62.2 million. I can confirm that we are positive the trend on net financial position because the EBITDA cash conversion is better compared to the previous year, June 2016. And also we can say that due also to the volume of the group compared to the previous year, the cash absorption of the operating cash flow is less to the increase that we had in the volume of the business of the new entity, FILA Group, compared to the previous year. So I think that we can open the Q&A session if you have some questions.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touchtone phone. The first question comes from Niccolò Storer of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my questions. The first one is related to the introduction of the presentation when you, Massimo, talked about a softer environment. So if you can talk a little bit on this and give us more color, in particular on which segment or country you see this softer environment. And the second question is on number. Did I understand correctly that basically the cost related to the logistic problems in the US were not accounted for under the extraordinary cost, but were in standard cost, and so impacted also adjusted EBITDA? Thank you.
You answered before, and then I asked the second question, maybe.
Sorry, Stefan, I didn't get what you said.
Do you prefer that you answer to the first question, then I answer to the second question?
Yes. Okay, concerning the first question, I mentioned a softer environment, and you are right, I have to be more precise. When I mean a softer environment, I am referring to the mainly to Europe, in which I think in the last 2 years, especially FILA, but also some of our competitors, we have experienced a stronger market in the low single digit, while this year the statistic we are getting from the market are showing us a more stable market. This is not valid for North America, in which the market is still good, and the market is still very strong in Asia and in Central South America. Those countries are growing for many years around the double digit because of the rate of birth and because of the rate of instruction. So to be more precise, the market is softer, not in a specific category of product, but generally speaking, is softer in this first 6 months, especially compared to the last two strong years. I would say it's an average market if I consider the last, 10 years. In this situation, FILA has a nice and a good competitive presence, and so we continue our strategic plan to take market share from the competition. I remember that the market is still extremely fragmented, We continue in what we have always told to the market, which is a nice single digit growth and with an operating leverage for the EBITDA growth.
Thank you.
Regarding the second question, yes, you understood correctly, because for us these costs are not recurring but related to the business, to some inefficiency, and so we treat these costs, we highlight as not recurring but not as extraordinary. So I confirm that are included in the EBITDA adjusted as not recurrent but totally included.
And sorry. And for the US, you said around 1.5 million.
Yes. These costs are due to all the, you understood, related to all the temporary people employed to keep the situation on a normal level, of course, in the logistic. And also, we had to rent some additional space where to store all the material in order to put the situation in the ordinary way.
Thank you.
Next question comes from Alessandro Cecchini of Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody. I have some questions. The first one is about U.S. Because I would like to better understand, because you spoke about minus 1.5 million of U.S. dollar, but I would like to have the whole overview on these, including the sales that you lost, probably, and the EBITDA that you lost in second quarter because you did not deliver goods. And then I would like to better understand if this problem is completely recovered in this quarter, and connected with this point, what is your outlook and what are you experiencing in this quarter, in the third quarter, in terms of organic top line following a weaker quarter, because I calculated roughly minus 1% in the second quarter. This is my first question. The second one is about margin improvement. CEO, you reported an interview on Bloomberg speaking about margin improvement for the year. I would like to better understand if you are talking about organic, the group, M&A, just to add some color on this point. And finally, on the integration process, if you could add some color how Dollar and Canson are doing in the market. Thank you.
Thanks, thanks, Alessandro. Maybe Stefano later can give you precise. I'm not with Stefano in this moment, so I can only give you qualitative information about North America. The situation, fortunately, if you remember when we had the first call, it was around the end of April. I was in the middle of the problem, so I was experiencing big delivery problems with customers, and I didn't have a completely clear view of the amount of mistake that we had to solve. Today, the situation fortunately is more clear, and this is a picture. We have suffered during April and May of strong backorder because the former CEO made a mistake in merging the logistic center. So the impact, I think today will be, I would say, not relevant. Why not relevant? because you, in your analysis, probably you refer to the first semester of 2016. In fact, for you should know that our back to school period is not focused on June, but is spread out between June, July, and August, and this is strongly influenced by decision of our customers. So for whatever reason, last year our customer decided to have a very strong sell-in during the month of June, which has been translated in a stronger semester last year. This year, the customers, despite we had the logistic problem, have asked us to postpone delivery to July and August. In fact, what I can already tell you is that July has been extremely strong in North America. So the damages we have created are limited to the delay of the turnover that we have had in April and May, that we have not been able to recover during the month of June, because clearly I think we have reacted properly, but in 1 month it's difficult to solve problems created in the last six months. But fortunately, as the school opened in the United States, opened in the second half of August, the fact that in June and in July we have done an extremely good job is reducing substantially the pressure. So what we expect now is that the third quarter will show entirely the recovery of the delay that we have experienced during the second quarter. Of course, what we will not be able to completely offset are some non-recurring costs, like, for example, temporary workers to react quickly, or some extra space that we have rented in order to react quickly, in the area of $1 to $1.5 million. This, of course, we cannot recover. But in terms of turnover, margin, and service to the customer, in this moment we are close to be on a normal situation. In this moment, at the end of July.
Thanks.
So, to summarize, I expect that the third quarter in North America will see the company performing as expected. So, at the end, will be a transition of turnover and margin from second quarter to third quarter.
Okay, Alessandro, maybe I can answer to your question related to the revenue decrease in North America. We had an approximate decrease of $8 million, but this is a mix between, of course, Dixon and other.
Mm. Okay.
Million, Stefano, on average count for $2.5 million in EBITDA. That we expect to recover in a great part the third quarter and completely in the fourth quarter. Because don't forget, Alessandro, let me remember you, that the seasonality of Dahler is in the second semester. So okay, the problem of Dahler that undoubtedly we have suffered, fortunately, have not touched at all their seasonality. That's why we are confident that despite we consider a very good result what we have achieved in the first semester due to the problem that we had in North America, the second semester will completely offset the problem of the second quarter.
Okay. Okay, that is very very clear. Thank you about this point and about the margin improvement that in the interview.
Yes.
Okay.
The margin. Yes, Alessandro. The margin improvement. I think it's a fact because if you consider that in United States we have lost. In terms of missed delivery, not missed sales, in terms of missed deliveries, we have lost more than $2 million EBITDA, and we have had $1.5 million extraordinary cost. Without a margin improvement of the new acquisition, I think we wouldn't have a good result like we had in the first semester. So, thanks to the new acquisition and the policy that we have announced, that was to clean the top line and to improve the average margin, we were targeting a better profitability. And I would like to remember you that we are now starting to work on the area of cost. So all the synergies coming from cost are expected from the third to the fourth quarter of 2017 and, of course, full result in 2018. The synergies on cost will improve the situation of the new, acquisitions. But from a commercial point of view, we are already experiencing a better margin for the reason that we have highlighted. So a better commercial policy.
Okay. So basically, if I understand correctly, so with better commercial policies, you are already for Canson and Daler, that is broadly speaking, above 10% EBITDA margin for the year, so that's more close to 15 than 10%.
Yes, Stefano, can you provide the precise numbers, please?
Yes, we have an average between Daler and Canson of 30%, 13.13%. So the Canson now is around 14%.
Okay.
And then this is the reason, sorry, I forgot when I explained why you find, of course, the EBITDA margin coming from 80.1% of the previous year to 16.8%, because notwithstanding the improvement compared to 10% that we had as EBITDA margin when we bought the company, now we are around a weighted 13%. And so this is the reason why we are coming from 80.1 to 16.8% EBITDA margin. The organic EBITDA margin is 17.3%, and so lower than 80.1% the previous year, but it's clear why, because we're talking about an increase of fixed cost due to different reasons.
Alessandro, in two words, if we did not experience a mistake in the logistic organization in North America, we were probably discussing of an extremely good 2017. I think the restructuration and the organization is going in the right direction, better than expected, with this problem that unfortunately can happen in a complicated organization.
Okay, very very clear. And just a last point on the trend that you are experiencing right now in the third quarter about Europe and other areas. What are your feeling on these different countries, excluding U.S.?
The feeling we have. It's really a feeling. We expect a second semester that will be a little bit better than the first semester because in Europe, what we have seen, the distribution coming from two strong years, as they have seen a slight decrease of sales, they have played a little bit with their stock level. And we have visited a lot of customers. They are really below the necessary level of stock. So we are confident that with the second semester, we are going to hit at least what are the public and known expectation on the year for Fila Group.
Okay.
At least.
Okay, many thanks. Very, very clear.
Don't forget one point, that the seasonality of the new acquisition fall in the second semester. And if you consider the number that we have been able to reach in the first semester, now United States will completely, realize the numbers that we all expected, and all these numbers will fall into the second semester, fortunately. So I think that we can be reasonably positive.
Okay. Many, many thanks.
Again, if you have a question, please press star then one. There is no question at the moment. The next question is a feedback from Alessandro Cecchini of Equita.
Thanks. Just a point about net working capital that you spoke about an improvement in the cash conversion that you had in the first half of the year. I would like to better understand what kind of trend you see for the rest of the year and what kind of dynamics you are experiencing, focus on inventories, trade receivable, just to understand this point on net working capital. Thank you.
Yes, I said, as we said, also the first quarter, we had some benefits also on the coming from the new company acquired, because they have a different seasonality compared to the group, so they smoothed the effect that normally Fila Group had. Also, of course, we have some improvement in some in the inventory management compared to the previous year, because we did a big step up of the inventory the previous year. We have some improvement in some collection for collection in some countries, so the trade receivables are more or less under control. And so what is really good, that the EBITDA cash conversion is an estimation, but more or less it's 5 points better than the previous year for all these reasons. But main reason come also from the integration of the new company, because the seasonality is really different compared to Fila Group seasonality. About the trend, as we said, we expect to be more or less the same. I don't expect a big improvement end of the year. I think to stay in line with estimation that are around 48%, a little less than 50% of incidence of trade working capital on the core business sales. So just to say that with integration, we think that all the issue, all the problem that you can have in integration, the working capital is under control. But it doesn't mean we still need to implement, to complete implement the ERP. We still have to complete the project of the central warehouse in Europe to see the big improvement. So I can say that the working capital is in line with the expectation. You know that I come from finance department, so I'm prudential by definition. I say that we close a little better than our expectation due to this improvement in working capital, but this will be, I can confirm at the moment that it will be in line with the expectation for the end of the year.
Okay, many thanks.
The There is no question at the moment.
Okay, I think that we can thank everyone, and have a good evening. And I don't know, Max, if you want to add something, or...
No, I would like to be sure that there are no more questions, and then if there are no more questions, I thank everybody and I wish you happy holidays, and hope to meet you soon.
Okay.
Thank you, bye.
Thank you, bye.